The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast. Build you from the inside out. Now, here's Jay Glazer.
Welcome into Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast with Jay Glazer. I'm Jay Glazer, and today's guest is a great friend of mine. She is up for an Emmy now. A rising star in this business, but she has a story that nobody knows. That when I first heard it, I was at the NFL owners meeting, I started crying. So I wanted to bring her on. Before I get to her, if you're like many people, you may be surprised to learn that one in five adults in this country experienced mental illness last year, yet far too many fail to receive the support they need. Carolyn Behavioral Health is doing something about it. They understand that behavioral health is a key part of whole health, delivering compassionate care that treats physical, mental, emotional, and social needs in tandem. Carolyn Behavioral Health, raising the quality of life through empathy and action. All right, welcome into Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast with Jay Glazer. I'm Jay Glazer, and I wanted to bring this guest on. I consider her a friend. I am so proud of the work she's doing it the right way. But like I said, there is a story she has that nobody knew, and I knew half of it, not the rest of it. And when her teammate, Andrew Whitworth, who's my longtime training partner, told me this at the NFL owners meeting, I started crying in front of Whit. And he's like, you got to get her on the podcast. With this, it's Kaylee Hartung, who is the sideline reporter for Prime Video's inaugural Thursday Night Football crew with, you know, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. She did the NFL draft. She was part of NBC sports playoff coverage. And like I said, nominated for an Emmy. How cool is that? Kaylee Hartung, how you doing?
I think that's the first time I've been introduced with that honor in front of my name, which is is absolutely wild. Very cool. Much appreciated. And, yes. You know, I mean, gosh, you guys on Fox, I mean, Jay, you guys clean up every year. But I think for us being, you know, new to the game, so to speak, with Amazon and how hard our crews work, none of us do any of these jobs alone, right? So I think the coolest thing for me is just knowing how grateful I am and how lucky I am to get to work with the people I do who support me and put me in a position to to tell great stories.
No, this should be your Emmy speech, right? If you win the Emmy, this should be your speech. Hey, there's a lot of people I like to thank. Actually, no, there's not. I did this shit myself, and they drop the mic and just walk off. There you go.
Just walk off.
Yes. Hey, everybody likes short and sweet. There you go.
Exactly. I mean, they only let me talk for like 22 seconds during a game anyway. So if there is a world in which I win, which I don't think there is, that speech will be 22 seconds to the number. And Fred Gadelli will be very proud of me if that's the case.
By the way, you said we clean up. We don't. We did in the first. This is my 21st year at Fox. Last year was the first Emmy I won. Because when Fox started, I think they won every year. Then it was almost like, all right, enough with Fox already. Let's just move on to everybody else. And they never came back. Now, mind you, in all these years, I've never won an Emmy, but I was with our team inducted into the Television Hall of Fame. So something's off there. As the only sports show ever inducted in the Television Hall of Fame.
But that's so cool.
Yeah.
You're a Hall of Famer, Jay.
Yes.
I mean, I love it.
And we're getting the award. We're in Vegas. And I there's two things. And both have been a Howie Long. I turn to Howie. I'm holding this trophy in my hand. And there's two things I said to him. One, I said, dude, this is true. And for an Emmy and this, it's the first two things I've ever won without having to get the shit beat out of me to win them. I've only won things for fighting. I've never, I've had broken noses now and ruptured discs and all that. I've never won anything in my life without getting the hell beat out of me.
We got to keep that pretty face intact. This is what happens when that pretty face gets kept intact of yours, Jay. You know, you win awards. Look at that.
But the other thing I said, I'm holding this trophy up. I got my little rosy stapler up here. I'm holding this trophy up, and I look to Howie, and I go, hey, man, I know we're supposed to act like we've been there before, but fuck that. I haven't. This shit is cool.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love
so
that.
I want you to enjoy it. When you win it, I want you to enjoy it. But even just being up for it, it's such a blessing that, again, and we're going to get this now. This is a great transition. Little Kaylee, right? The little girl in you, you could turn around and tell her, like, man, you're going to one day, you're going to grow up and you're going to be up for an Emmy.
I don't even know how 10-year-old me would react to that. I think just, it sounds cliche to say, but just being nominated among the people who I'm nominated with, like, I've already won. That is so incredible just to be thought of in that category. And yeah.
You do a great job. And I texted you during a game last year, right?
I love when you text me during games. I love it so much. I like that real-time feedback.
Yeah, but you gave us information. There was an injured player. You gave us information. You didn't speculate.
Was it Joe Burrow?
No. It was Titans. He injured his neck, the receiver.
Traylon Burks.
Yes, Traylon Burks. Right. But so we were all sitting there really scared of, man, listen, even though I've been in the NFL since 1993, but every time you see an injury like that, for me, it's so weird. Being around fighting, I love it. Like, no problem. Guy breaks, he's like, hey, man, it's part of it. You have something, hey, we cut our eyes open, hey, it's part of it. You bleed a lot, you get knocked out, man, it's part of it. Football, it fucks me up. It really freaks me out when I see guys get injuries.
And that situation with Traylon, when he went down, he was so close to the sideline.
Right.
I was able to get really close. You know, think about it. When DeMar Hamlin went down,
right,
he was in the middle of the field. So, you know, players were able to protect him, and thank goodness ESPN handled that as well as they did. But in the situation of Traylon, I was able to get so close. Yeah. And there is no feeling like that as a reporter when you're that close to everything you need to observe, you know, because I can tell you what I can see and what I can hear. That's the best kind of reporting I can give you. But, you know, I mean, you really have to lock in and take your own emotion out of it in moments like that.
I think because of the DeMar Hamlin thing, that's why it had a similar, almost like a feel of that.
Yeah.
And where we had no idea what was going on with DeMar Hamlin, you gave us so much insight into alleviate our fears. Now, we're still serious. There's a serious neck injury. And that was the other thing, because it didn't seem like a neck injury. You're like, oh, I've never seen that before. How somebody go down and get injured like that. I thought it was knocked out. But for you to be able to, I was just a viewer. I wasn't an insider. And you were able to give me a very educated and informed, basically, I would say diagnosis, that's not the right word, but a picture of what's really going on. So you were able to alleviate a lot of our immediate concerns by immediate, like, journalistically, you just dove in and you gave us everything you knew. And I texted you right on the spot. I'm like, that was so perfect of the job of a sideline reporter.
Thank you so much, Jay. And I remember getting that text from you, and it meant the world, because all of my senses are so heightened in that moment. And a lot of times you do, you have a moment like that in a broadcast, and then you walk off the field and you're like, how did that go? I blacked out for a second, right? You know? And then to get that reassuring text from you, I was like, absolutely, that made me feel like I did my job well. So thank you.
Well, you got a lot of people who root for you in this business. Me, obviously one of them, but when people hear this story also of your background, you're going to have a lot more people that root for you. So I'm going to kind of give you the floor. I want you to, you know, it goes back to your dad. And, you know, again, you told me half of the story, but not the other half. So I want you to just kind of start off with what happened with you and your dad.
Yeah. So I get asked all of the time in this industry with my sports reporting, especially, were you an athlete? Is that why you wanted to do this? Or in news, you know, I don't think it's a, out of the ordinary for somebody to want to host the Today Show, if this is the sort of career path that you're interested in. But, you know, for me, my why professionally and my, so much of my why in life as a person was born from the worst day of my life. So when I was 10 years old, I went to go watch my dad perform in an air show. He was an incredibly talented aerobatic pilot. He would fly in air shows all over the world. And this just happened to be an air show that was an hour from where I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was flying in Lafayette. And so we went.
What kind of, is like Blue Angels or like the little small planes or?
So he would fly World War II trainer aircrafts. So like what fighter pilots would train with World War II. So really heavy machinery. And he would do tricks that you weren't supposed to do with that type of plane. Right. So, and I forget the physics of it, but if you're supposed to do a barrel roll clockwise, he would do it counterclockwise. The average fan might not notice, but every pilot who was watching him would be like, damn, that guy, that's sick. So the World War II planes were sort of his specialty, but he also had a Polish Iskra jet. He had a Mustang. He flew a restored a B-25, one of the big bombers.
Wow.
And yeah, so just an incredible, incredible history for him.
Did you ever go on these with him?
I did, all of them.
All of
every
them?
Every single one of them. Oh, I was the kid. I'm going to have to send you some pictures, Jay. I was the kid getting in the plane with my dad and saying, go faster. You know, he'd be like, are you okay? Is everything? I'd be like, go faster, daddy. You know, I mean, I loved it. Adrenaline, the adrenaline rush I came to understand. And it's the sort of thing that just feels like it's in my blood. This is his job. He was a performer. And it's so funny because I didn't think of him like that. I didn't think of him as an athlete or as a performer, but I now realize he was both for sure. But he also owned a flight school in Baton Rouge, which is really cool because his legacy lives on through so many pilots in that area. And my little brother's a pilot in Baton Rouge now too. So he gets to hear stories about my dad all the time. And I always tell him he has to share them with me. And he owned and ran one of the FBOs in Baton Rouge. So the businesses were multifaceted, but yeah, so we went to this air show of his and couldn't have been more excited. And final maneuver of the show, he crashed right in front of me and 13,000 other people. And there's a lot to unpack about the emotions of watching a plane crash happen when it's the, you know, the man you love the most and he's the only one in the plane. But in that moment, thinking back on it at 10 years old, I didn't think he was dead. Because to me, he was invincible. When I saw I saw the plane hit the ground and I remember all the feelings I remember that day. I remember my first reaction was, we got to go to the hospital. How fast are they going to be able to get him to a hospital? Where is he going to have to learn how to walk again? Yeah. You know, I didn't think it was possible that he could be dead. But, you know, thinking back to the look on my mother's face, she knew instantly. And, fast forward a couple of hours, we go back home to Baton Rouge. We were able to just, you know, drive back home and the house was full of people that night in the way that it is at a time of mourning like that, you know, people wanting to be there for us. And the TV was on just for noise. You know, I don't know that anybody was paying any attention to it, but the room stopped when what I now know to be a 30-second anchor VO voiceover comes on, just a headline of the day that said something to the effect of, today in Lafayette, Louisiana, in front of 13,000 people, a plane crashed. Like, this report was not about the man who died. My father's death was treated as an event. And watching this at 10 years old, I didn't understand why that's the way the story was told or why his life wasn't honored at all of the incredible things he accomplished. I mean, and this is a guy who lived the American dream. He was born in Indonesia, raised in the Netherlands, came to the States with nothing and truly lived the American dream. And none of that was mentioned. And so in that moment, my thought was, I don't want anybody to feel this way when their life, the most personal moments of their life are talked about on TV. I don't want anybody to feel the way I feel right now. So I want to tell other people's stories. And the Today Show was what we watched every morning. That's how I was used to consuming news in any way, shape, or form at 10 years old. And so the dream became very quickly at 10 years old to want to host the Today Show one day.
And you recently achieved that dream.
I filled in. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But I filled in hosting the third hour of the Today Show last month. And it, I mean, it was literally a dream come true. You know, I hope a lot of people get to say that a dream that they had as a child comes true. It's wild when it happens. It's absolutely wild when it happens. And I felt so lucky for the opportunity. And I had to kind of step back and like soak it in and think about it and appreciate the journey. You know, I mean, I'd do anything. I'd give up anything to have another day with my dad, but he's been with me every step of the way.
We just rent these bodies, but the souls live on forever, you know? So he's always there with you. You could always talk to him. He must've been beaming when you were, you know, hosting there for today's show. You must've felt it.
I did. I absolutely felt it. And you know, the funny thing of it all was that when I called my mom, when they asked me to fill in, of course, first call I'm going to make. And she immediately said, oh, I can't wait to come to New York. This is going to be so fun. We're going to have such a great time. And I was like, Mom, you're not invited. This is not Take Your Mom to Work Day. I am a serious professional. I am co-hosting the Today Show for the first time. Like, no, another time, Mom. Let me get through this. You know, I was nervous and all the things, right? Let me get through this. Let me focus on this. And then we'll, you know, another time. Let me tell you, 3 days before I was scheduled to go to New York for this, I texted my stepdad and I said, what's mom doing this week? Is she busy? Because I'm kind of thinking I'd really, really like to have her in New York with me. And he said, call her right now. She'll be over the moon and she'll be on the next plane out. And so I called and yeah, you better believe she was there just like that. And I can't imagine if I'd done it without her there. It was so, I mean, you know, she knew the dream. I mean, she knew I vocalized it at 10 years old. And when I was the summer before my senior year of high school, I mean, she took me to New York and we went to the Today Show Plaza and we just crossed our fingers. We would get to meet Katie Couric and we took a photo with Katie. And it was just, I mean, you know, my mom did these little things and big things really along the way I thanked her. I was so emotional with her afterwards because I was like, I never really thought about it this way, but I was like, thank you for always helping me believe that my dreams could come true. Not for having that sort of unrealistic parental confidence in your child, you know what I mean? But she just afforded me opportunities and that didn't make me feel like it was out of reach. And I didn't realize it as she was doing it. And then to have her there and she came on the set and the camera panned over to her. And all of a sudden I see the stage manager hand my mother a microphone and Al Roker starts asking my mom questions. And I was like, guys, I'm going to lose it. We don't need tears at the start of this broadcast. Can we keep it moving? But then my mom was the star of the show and it was the coolest thing ever. And I just love that we got to share in that moment together because she's,
So you said that Today Show that you watched, but this is what you watched with your dad?
It was just always on. It was just on every morning as we were getting ready for school. And like my dad loved cooking breakfast and I can remember him, you know, flipping pancakes and the Today Show's on. I mean, it was just a part of, I think that's what's special about morning shows in general, right? And it's why I feel such a privilege when I'm on it because it's such an intimate time of the day for families. If you have this cast in your living room, you know, or your kitchen or wherever it is. And so the Today Show was a part of my childhood and it really touches me when I meet people who watch the show and who know me from it. And I just get to think about the part of their life I get to be, you know.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robey.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that is guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Ooh, like our recent episode with Melissa Joan Hart.
LL Cool J gave me some great advice. He had all these gold chains and I was like, wow, look at all these diamonds. And he said something to the effect of, don't waste your money on something like this. Buy a house. Like he gave me like solid investment advice where I was like, save my money. Got it.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot to unpack from the crash itself, and I want to hit that. But before I do, I got to ask you this basic question. How did you keep it together on the today?
I don't know. Adrenaline. Adrenaline is a very real thing. And
did you get close to losing it?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I have been... When I tell you, before our very first Thursday night game kicked off on Prime Video in Kansas City in 2023, I don't know if I've ever been so nervous before to go on TV. I mean, I was so, like, I did my first report right before kickoff, and I mean, send it back to Al, which, like, I'm sending it back to Al Michaels. What is this life? This is the coolest thing ever.
It was the best.
And I am shaking. Like, I handed my microphone to our utility guy, Shane, who's always on the field with me to make sure, you know, if anything goes wrong, he's going to problem solve. But I hand the microphone back to Shane, and I couldn't stop shaking. I mean, I was so nervous. And the crazy thing about the Today Show, from the very first day I walked on that set as a correspondent and got to be up there with Savannah and Hoda to this opportunity to co-host a whole hour of it, I have never felt more at ease. I've never felt more comfortable or at peace. I've never felt fewer nerves in a way that I think nerves are a good thing in a lot of cases. In Kansas City, I think the nerves were a good thing because it was just so much excitement and you've got all the screaming crazy people at Arrowhead and it's awesome. And I feed off of that. Right? Yes. Like I love being in the middle of chaos. That for me is fun. You feed off that energy in a very cool way. But when you're in a studio, it's such a different you know the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, you've done both. It's such a different feeling. And you're kind of like looking for your cues of, well, where's my energy level? Where do I need to be? And how do I match the other people in the room and all that? But with the Today Show, I think because I just, when they offered me the opportunity to fill in, I said to myself, yeah, I'm a big preparation breeds confidence kind of person. And for this, I was like, I've been preparing my whole life.
Yeah.
And so the confidence was there. The confidence was there in a way that I, again, couldn't have manufactured and just
you felt
really.
Like your dad was with you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The confidence.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to, again, as a 10-year-old girl, you see your dad go down in a plane crash. And you said before that it was on the news. How did you realize that? Because you said, thought he was just going to the hospital. How did you realize that he had died?
It's a really good question. So at air shows like that, just like lots of sporting events, you know, there was a tent that was all the pilots' families, right? So all of a sudden this big white van pulls up. It was like out of a movie. I mean, the plane crashes. I mean, my mom grabs me to hug me, a white van pulls up and we get thrown in. And it's like, I don't know where I think we're going to the hospital. And we get taken to, and then ambulances are rushing, fire trucks are rushing to the plane. And then we get taken to another hangar at the airport. And I'm like, what are we doing here? We're wasting time. Like, there was urgency. And then all of a sudden there wasn't, we were just sitting there. And I'm like, what are we doing in here? We got to go. And then one of my dad's best friends in the industry, walked in, and he took my mom into a different room, and I heard her scream, and that's how I knew. And if somebody themselves told me that he was dead, I don't remember, because that was how I found out. And we didn't stay there much longer, or maybe we did. I have no idea. And then we got in a car and somebody drove us back to Baton Rouge. And that I think in any moment of trauma, any significant moment in life, right, there are some details that you remember, like they were yesterday, so specifically. And then there are blocks of time where you're like, what happened? I have no recollection. Yeah. So that's how I found out.
How did you unpack it first as a little kid moving forward after that?
So I have a younger brother, 4 years older than him. And I was so worried about everyone else. I was so worried about my mom. I mean, my mom was 35 and widowed with 2 kids. Wow. And I was always my father's child. You know, I was always the oldest in all of the stereotypical characteristics. I wanted to get straight A's to make him proud. I wanted to do everything right to make him proud. And not because he put that pressure on me, but because I just, more of the DNA, more of his DNA in me. But looking back on it, that time and how I managed it, I didn't give my mom enough credit. I now believe she is the strongest woman I know. But at the time, she is. You've never met my mom. Oh, you gotta meet my mom, Jay. You are gonna love
Next time she's in LA,
we're all hanging out for sure. Everybody loves my mom. But I really do. I think she's the strongest woman I know. But at the time, I couldn't see that. I was just so worried about her and worried that she was going to break. And the thing is, she never did, but I couldn't see that at the time.
So you had to be an adult right there.
I grew up fast. Yeah, exactly. I think I felt like I grew up fast, but I already was a kid who prided myself on being mature. So it was just more of that. It was just more of, I tried to make my mom's life easier. You know, I wanted to do everything right so that she didn't have to discipline me, you know, so that I wouldn't put any more stress on her.
Wow.
That's
a lot of stress for a 10-year-old kid to.
Oh, for sure. Well, not just a 10-year-old, but, you know, also as a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old. And, you know, it was my entire, you know, there was one time I got in some trouble in eighth grade for drinking wine coolers. And I've never felt so awful in my life, because my mom had to discipline me, and I felt like I let her down in a way that was more punishment than, you know, being grounded for months. Yeah. But the other side of that is that, you know, things I unpack with my therapist, you know, I put up armor, I suited up, and I learned to compartmentalize. I learned to compartmentalize in a way that I will say in my job in news can be helpful.
It's the great in chaos. Yes.
At a mass shooting or a natural disaster, when I am meeting people on the worst day of their life and they are trusting me with their story, I have to put my own emotions aside. Just like we were talking about with the Traylon Burke situation. You know, I'm over there looking at him scared to death. And you gotta put that away. You gotta do the job. You've got to focus on the facts and the information. And in those moments with those families, you know, I would like to think my empathy is one of my greatest qualities as a reporter. So the compartmentalization, I think, has done me some good and has absolutely been to my detriment, you know, more so in my personal life.
I was going to ask you that is, how have you found relationships as far as, you know, you're the most beloved person and 10 years old and he's gone in a very visible and tragic way. Have you run into, I guess, fear that everybody would leave you?
I don't have fear that everybody would leave me so much as this is hard to say out loud. I never imagined I'd be 38 and single and not have kids. I never imagined that. But I think I think I'm looking for someone who is a lot like my dad. Yeah. And that's a really hard act to follow.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How have you, well, you're saying you're working with a therapist. How are you, and I don't want to get all therapy on you here, but have you been able to see, like, hey, I got some movement here. I got, because, look, and I'm, by the way, I'm asking questions and something. Like, I'm not really equipped to ask these questions because I haven't been through this. People have been through it who should ask questions, but I am just, I'm generally, you know, obviously, you know how much I care about you. So, but also you as a friend, you as a human, you as a person, you and your future, me for somebody who got love later in life. Now, part of me puts that hat on, ooh, how could I kind of coach Kaylee so she could find love also? So,
I need all the tips. But yeah, you know, the wild thing is that I didn't see a therapist until last year.
What? Really? What was the change? What? Because you thought you didn't need one because you're handling it on your own, or did you?
Oh yeah, because I just thought I thought that. I mean, I knew it would be helpful. I wasn't in denial about that, but I kind of thought for a long time that I was, you know, holding it together just fine. And then what my therapist explained to me is that, I spent all those years trying to strengthen that armor that I put on, and then at some point that armor starts to crumble. And that was, I think, the point that I hit that led me to seeking help, was realizing, being very confused why I felt more emotional than I was used to feeling about a lot of things. You know, why my reactions to things that would happen in my personal life really getting to me in a deep way. And gosh, I'm usually stronger than this. You know, because for me, it was always about strength. For me, it was always about, I've got to be strong for my mom and my brother. And that's how I get through it all. And then when I'm like, gosh, what's wrong with me? And then the therapist is like, no, this is
nothing wrong with you. Yeah.
This is actually, this is actually progress.
This is what's right with you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I loved a post that I saw you share about you and Rosie being preemptive about going to therapy together before mm-hmm. getting married, before problems arise that are then too, you know, get even more difficult to deal with. But, you know, I think that I have been someone in relationships and I have learned the hard way, you know, how important communication is. And I think now at this stage of my life, I'm going to have to demand strong communication yes. in a relationship. So share with me, please, what you guys learned and what was most helpful in that.
No, but here's the thing. I want you to go back also. So what the worst thing that happened in your life, I would like for you to shift it from this happened to me to that formed all these superpowers.
Oh, it did. It's undeniable. Yeah. And it's a really hard thing to come to terms with though, right? There was a fantastic conversation between Anderson Cooper and Stephen Colbert a couple years ago. And it ended up leading to Anderson doing an entire podcast on grief. But, you know, both of them lost their dads at 10 years old. And they were the first people I heard. This was also what helped lead me to recognize I needed to go to therapy in listening to their conversation. But, you know, this idea that the worst day can lead to some of these, like you say, right. superpowers.
Yes.
And it's just a really hard thing to, because who would I be? I've questioned it 1,000 times. Who would I be if my dad were still on this planet? If I'd had all these years with him, and I would like to think I would be a better person, just a better person.
Why would you like to think that you're a better person? You're a phenomenal person. This is like,
but he no, was, because what, Jay, you would have loved him. Jay, you would have loved him.
And I love him by
so
hearing
much.
Him. I love him by hearing about him, but I love him more for the person that you've become. So that's the ultimate gift. Like he left you with this to become the person you are now. And think all these things, these tools you have because of that. I don't think you would have been this successful. Like it's our adversity is the biggest gift. Like,
What would my why have been? I have no idea. Annie, here's the thing about when you face adversity and survived it, overcome it, and it's made you stronger. You know, I recognized years ago in relationships that I need to be with someone who has experienced some adversity in life, right? And who has become stronger as a result of it. Now, I think it's a very generalized statement, but I think we all need,
By the way, I don't know if that's the case, because I think you just need to be with someone who understands your adversity and who's empathetic to it and can help raise you up. But it doesn't mean that we always have to have gone.
But I need to know, here's the thing, to your point of, am I afraid that somebody would leave me after experiencing that loss? It's more like I'm afraid that somebody wouldn't be able to handle tough stuff.
You're right. That's the type of person you're looking for. But here's what I've learned now by talking so openly about my mental health. It lifts other people up when they get to help you with that stuff. So like, I'll give you my story. What I really realized is, you know, I've been best friends with Strahan since 93. And it wasn't until 2 years ago where we're supposed to go out, and I call it, when I have my bad breakdowns, I call it the beast getting out of the box, and I am not fucking good to be around. And it's really painful and I get scared for me and other people. And in the past, I went out no matter what, I would take Vicodin and drink and just do anything to just put on, become the glaze in front of people and hide the pain. And that wasn't great because then I'd go out and get in more trouble. And maybe if I get an alcohol in a situation where the beast is out of the box, it's not good for other people at all. And it's amazing that everyone stood by me through these times. But it's been, he's scary. And it's the first time I said to Michael, hey man, I can't go out tonight. Beast got out of the box. And he said, oh man. It wasn't like, oh, come on, Jay, just suck it up. It was like, oh, do you want to talk about it? And I said, no. And I said, beast got out of the box, man. I got one of these attacks, man. This anxiety and depression hit. I'm feeling it in my joints. It's not a good night for me. And he said, you want to talk about it? And I said, no. He said, you want me to come over? I said, no. I said, we'll talk about it. It's not tonight. I said, I just want to kind of go to bed and slip this one off. And he said, well, why have you never told me? And I said, I don't know. With you, I felt ashamed. And a lot of times we're like, we don't want to be a burden on somebody else. And he said, no, you took away my ability to be your best friend for 30 years by not telling me. And that's how I realized, man, I've got to, like, people want to be there for us. We're not a burden. Yeah. And same for you. Like, the people, no one's going to say, oh, how can I handle her? You're right, guys are going to want to help you. and walk this walk with you. And there's so many of them out there. And that's what I've learned as I've come and opened up. Man, people just check on me now. They hit me up when people are going through stuff. They're like, I never would have been able to call someone about this. Now I'm calling you, man. And some of the biggest people you got to imagine calling me saying, man, I'm in a bad place today. I'm so glad you and I have this relationship now. And it's made my relationships a lot deeper. So I think because you've gone through this, whoever is lucky enough to be with you, your relationship will be a lot deeper if you open up and just put all your cards on the table. We want to be able to walk this walk with someone else. It's a beautiful thing.
You and Rosie are already walking together, but you're about to make me walk.
That's what I want. That's what we want. But that's what you asked me with the thing. Like, so for all my issues, again, I turn them into superpowers. Like my depression, I'm like, man, it took me 11 years to get my first full-time job. I was making $9,500 a year. I got rejected for 11 straight years, full-time jobs. My depression told me I was worthless. So I felt, yeah, of course I'm rejected. I would have quit if I had more self-worth. Along the way, I would have been like, hey, I can't deal with all this rejection. But because I felt worthy of getting rejected, I kept at it. And I was the last dude standing. Eventually, somebody had to give me a job eventually. So the depression was the superpower. The anxiety you and I are talking about were great in chaos. So when those things happen, shoot, everything slows down for us. And being great in chaos when you're on TV or when you're in a cage or on a football field, it's a superpower. For my ADHD, it allows me to do 6 things where, you know, in the past, oh, you have learning disability. No, well, okay, but I just don't learn the way you teach. But thank God I have it because I can do 6 things at once. The same with this with you. It's your superpower. But even the story, I think, sends your equity, your soul equity to a different level where anybody's going to recognize that if you allow them to.
Thank you, Jay. That's I really appreciate that. Well, and, you know, and the thing is that in wanting to do justice to the worst days in people's lives and honor the story and honor the people involved in whatever the event may be. You know, I spent 2 years at CNN only showing up on the worst days of people's lives, mass shootings and natural disasters, death, despair, and destruction. And that was a really important learning experience for me. But when I tell you, it gave me more appreciation for the privilege I have in sports to so often show up on the best days of people's lives try to do justice to the hard work and the sacrifice and the dedication that it takes for these athletes to be great. Yeah. You know, people keep asking me, oh, news or sports, you know, where do you see yourself? I'm like, you guys are missing the point. I want to do it all. I want to work across the spectrum because I feel lucky that I feel like I have honed a skill set to be able to show up on the best and the worst days. And I want to work across that spectrum.
I want to go back to something you said also with Rosie and I. You just started therapy. Rosie and I were together in the past. And we split up because just kind of couldn't handle all my shit, my breakdown. And like, listen, when the roommates in my head get in a bad place, it could be an extended period. And we broke up. I had to go do the work. And I think, you know, I went to like Thailand for 35 days to go through this mind, body, spirit journey. I had to go do this work and find out why am I like, what is it? And when I had done the work and was able to make peace with the little kid, little 10-year-old Jay, if you already have 10-year-old Kaylee, obviously had a huge traumatic experience. I had to go comfort little Jay, get him to calm down so I could be calmer in life, so I could receive all the love Rosie was trying to give me. And the point of this is again, that was only 2 years ago. So you started 2 years ago. Mine was 2 years ago. And, you know, I'm 54. And now, like, yeah, it's never too late to find love. I'm a lot older than you. So, you know, I got 15 years on you, 16 years on you. So you got plenty of time. But now, yeah, your life begins now that you're starting to do this work. That's what led to Rosie and I getting back together. And we talked about it a lot. And even that, I was then able to voice to her, when I have these issues, this is what I need. And now when I have my breakdown, she goes, hey, and I talked about the abandonment thing. She's like, I'm not going anywhere. No one's ever done that for me. I'm not going anywhere. And then the shame we feel when we kind of have those little breakdowns, she knows now how it feels. So she's like, oh, in 5 minutes, she's like, hey, let's go to park. Let's go here. Let's go there. So I don't feel ashamed. Where I would have in the past, when you feel ashamed, then I start acting like more of an asshole. That's real. Like, your growth starts now. And now, like, all these great things are happening. Your dad is leading the way for you. So
for sure.
that's your as you're doing this work with your therapist, realize, okay, this is all happening the way it's supposed to happen.
I appreciate you saying that a whole lot. You know, it's nice to get that affirmation, right? Like to get, you know, cause you know how some days you go into a therapy session and you're like, oh, there are all these things I want to talk about. And then there are some days where you're like, the appointment's popping up and you're like,
you're stuck.
I don't really know. Where to now, you know?
But yeah, same thing as a physical training session. Sometimes you go to the gym, you just don't feel like being there. Sometimes you go in, you have an all world session. They're just therapists are our coaches. That's how I look at them. I take away that stigma. They're really just our coaches, nothing else. And by the way, somebody sent a message on the post you're talking about. And they're like, man, you're old as fuck. You're getting married at 54. You ain't going to be alive much longer. What? And here's the way I view it. If I wait 54 years and it's an eternity thing, golden, right? I get it for another 30, 40 years, whatever, but I have the rest of my eternity with her.
Yeah.
I'm happy. So a lot of us put a time limit on it because of that. I don't. I think it's for the rest of eternity. And whenever it happens with you, just remember that. It's an eternity thing.
I love that. I love that so much. Have you guys written vows? Are you going to? Is that going to be the sort of thing where you're going to?
She is. And by the way, this podcast is the last one before we go get married. So next week's podcast will be a repeat of me and Rosie doing our original podcast, which I was so nervous to do, but we really get, and she has a wild story, as you know, but you know, all these life lessons we've learned how to find love later in life. This is her first marriage. And Rosie, 55. She looks like she's a vampire. She looks 22, but
yeah, she does. Right, no one would put that number on her.
I'm trying to think if I just wing it, but I know what I want to say because I don't use teleprompter. I suck with that.
Yeah,
and I'm great without it. But she's started to write it out, and yeah, we're excited. And it's just the two of us in Amalfi Coast. No one else because I'm not having my shipbird friends come, and I couldn't cut it off. So, but listen, Kaylee, I couldn't think of a better guest to have as my final guest before I go get married, because I'm just honored that you opened up and told me that story. Like you told it to me, half of it, you know, one day with me, you and Big Wit in Beverly Hills, the whole thing is just, I'm honored that I'm one you chose to really open up and tell the story to. I'm really honored. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dreams do come true for all of us.
And I'm proud of you. All the people, I don't even know how to vote for the Emmy or whatever it is, but give Kayla the damn Emmy.
Well, let me, Jay.
Oh, I really, really appreciate you coming on with me. Kaylee
Hart. You're the best.
Thank you for joining the Unbreakable Mental Wealth Podcast. I will see you on the other side of my marriage.
Can't wait.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.